Grace be yours and peace through God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Christ our King. The word of God for our sermon is the first lesson we read there in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, beginning at verse 2. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to the shepherds who tend my people. Because you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not bestowed care on them, I will bestow punishment on you for the evil you have done, declares the Lord. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and will bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. I will place shepherds over them who will tend them, and they will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will there be any missing, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is God's word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, dearly loved by God, we know what Jesus did for us in the past. The eternal Son of God left his throne on high and became a true human being to live under the law and offer his perfect righteousness in his obedience for us, for our salvation. God willing, we will again begin to review that advent of our Savior King next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent and the beginning of the new church year. We know what Jesus, our Savior King, will do for us in the future. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. He will come to translate his church militant into the church triumphant on the last judgment, as we have been reviewing and talking about during these past weeks at the end of the church year in the season called End Time. My question is more about what is going and what is happening in between when we go about our daily activity. We get up in the morning, we go to work or we go to school, we play, we eat, we go to bed at night, we sleep. We do all those regular activities that we do each and every day of our life. And we do those under the perfect umbrella of the rule of Christ, our King, who we just confessed in our creed is sitting at the right hand of God. Jesus is the Christ, our King. He is sitting at the right hand of God with all power and majesty and authority and glory. The more practical question that we'll look at today is, so what's he doing there? What's Jesus doing while he's sitting at the right hand of God? What is Jesus, our King, doing at this very minute? Well, first of all, he is reigning wisely over all things, and he is being the Lord, our righteousness. After his resurrection from the dead, in his ascension, God the Father returned his Son and elevated his son to his right hand of authority and power in heaven. There, Jesus Christ rules over all things. God the Father rewarded his son, Jesus, the God-man, with that reign because Jesus fulfilled the mission that he came to do. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus, our King, doing at this very minute while we're here? Doing something that we regularly do, gather for worship? He is reigning wisely. As our victorious Savior, as our King, who did everything his Father commanded him to do and was rewarded with this high position, he is our King. And like an earthly king who doesn't reign wisely, who doesn't always reign justly, where we look at the success of his reign as he exercises authority over all men, we see Jesus, our King, in our gospel lesson, exercising his authority by suffering and dying on the cross. Now the Father has elevated him to that position. Jesus is our King, who is reigning over every aspect of our lives. Martin Luther said that one of the things that Jesus rules over, and the Bible clearly states that one of the things that Jesus rules over, is what Luther called God's left hand. Luther called the church the right hand of God, and he called the government the left hand of God. God has placed all things under his feet, the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians about Jesus, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. As Jesus reigns wisely, as he fulfills all things as true God and true man, one of the things that Jesus is ruling over for the sake of the church is the world. Jesus rules over every event that happens in the world. He rules over every government in the world. We're reminded of what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 13. There is no authority except that which God has established. Now for us, God's rule over the government for the sake of the church and his rule over the church are different. In Jeremiah's day, they were basically the same thing. Israel was a theocracy. There was essentially no difference between the government and the church. And so when God says, "You evil shepherds, you shepherds who instead of feeding my people and caring for them, have scattered them and dispersed them and caused this horrible judgment that they're experiencing, I'm getting rid of you. You have been evil kings. You have been false prophets. Through your lies, you have brought about the destruction of these nations as the people have followed you into idolatry. And now, I'm getting rid of you. I'm causing the nations of the world to be my tool of judgment. And the days are coming when I will establish new shepherds over you, a new king over you, who will feed my people, who will lead them and direct them rather than scattering them." That took place after the exile in people like Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther. It took place finally in John the Baptist and in Christ himself. Jeremiah saw in prophecy that day of the New Testament church when God would set over his people, shepherds who would feed them and take care of them. Now, the government now is different. But the governments of this world, the events of this world, do not take place in a vacuum. Now, you know this is not going to be a political sermon. However, nothing happens in the kingdoms of this world, nothing happens in the governments of this world, apart from the will of God, under that umbrella of God's authority. And even when nations and governments do not rule as God wants them to, our King is so powerful that He can use even those evils. He can use even those actions that go against His will in order to accomplish the good purposes of His church. Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And so as people living as the church in this world, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be afraid of. We don't need to be calmed down, wondering what in the world is going to happen in the future and how that's going to affect us, because we know that Christ is our King and that He is ruling wisely and that He will take care of us through the governments of this world. What is Jesus doing right at this very minute? He is reigning wisely. He's ruling over the world. He's ruling over the universe. He's taking care of everything and doing it for our good. Everything is under the divine rule of the crucified, risen, ascended, and ruling Savior King, Jesus Christ. Jeremiah saw that day and rejoiced in that day, not only for God's people at that time and who would return from the exile, but also we who would live in the future in that New Testament era. He talks about that work. He will do what is right and just in the land. In His days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. Israel and Judah are the church. The church, even though we may suffer some setbacks, even though we may suffer some persecutions, we do live in safety. The gates of hell even will not prevail against the church. We are saved by Christ. And so finally, it doesn't really matter what takes place under the temporary governments and rules of this world. We are saved and lived in safety because of the second thing Jesus, our King, is doing right this minute. He is being the Lord, our righteousness. The prophet Jeremiah saw the day when God would fulfill His promise and send the Messiah, the Savior, into the world. And that Savior would be a righteous branch. He would be righteous, holy, because that Savior is God. And at the same time, He is a branch. Don't think of a branch on a tree. Think more of a, for lack of a better word, those suckers that come up next to trees that are always growing there, that are their own tree, but they're coming from the root. Jesus is our King. He is the Messiah, a righteous, because He's God, branch, because He has grown from the root of David. He is descended from King David as our eternal King. Jesus would come into this world and He would live also a holy life under the law. He would be righteous under His perfect obedience, and He would give that righteousness to the world as God declares it by raising him from the dead. He connects us to that righteousness that is ours by calling us to faith through the gospel in word and in sacrament. And so this is the name better than he will be called. The Hebrew says, this is the name by which he will call him the Lord, our righteousness. So God, the church, we call Jesus the Lord, our righteousness. We recognize that we have no righteousness of our own. We have no holiness of our own under our failed obedience to God's will. Because of our sins, we are unrighteous. We are separated from God on account of our sins. But the Lord, our King, is our righteousness. God has imputed to us that perfect obedience of Jesus. He has imputed that to us and credited that to us by faith. The full payment for sins that Jesus made on the cross, God has given to us as he connects us to Christ's resurrection by giving us new life through faith. And that's what Jesus is doing right at this very minute. He's being our righteousness. So every time we sin and we confess that sin to God, that sin goes through Christ and God gives us forgiveness through Christ. Right now, when we take our prayers to God for our needs of body and soul, we take them to the Father through Christ. And God the Father answers our prayers through Christ. Because he is our righteousness. And so for his sake, because of him, God gives us those blessings as his subject. When the Jewish leaders asked Pontius Pilate to take down the sign over Jesus' head on the cross, remember, he refused. And there's all kinds of discussion about why he did. Well, why he did is because God is in control of the world. But the sign said, "This is the King of the Jews." They meant it in a mocking way. But today, on Christ the King Sunday, that sign stands out for the whole world to see. What a king we have. A completely different king than any other king that has ever existed, who established his throne in humiliation, in suffering, in death, in apparent defeat, but then rose again from the dead to live and reign over all things. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in his first letter, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." The days are coming, Jeremiah said. And Paul wrote to Timothy that in its proper time, Jesus came. That in its proper time is the day that Jeremiah saw, when Jesus came into the world to be our righteousness. At the end of verse 6 in the NIV 11, it says, "This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior." Unfortunately, that translation misses the boat quite a bit, because it says that we will call the Lord our righteous Savior, when really what the Hebrew says is we will call the Lord our righteousness. He is our Savior, but it is because of his righteousness that he gives to us. One expression that you could argue has worn out its welcome is 24/7, meaning of course, all the time. It is, however, surely and absolutely true when it comes to Christ our King. All the time, our Lord Jesus Christ, sitting at the right hand of God, rules over the universe and this world and its governments for the good of the church as we await that day of his return. That is absolutely true when it comes to Jesus being our righteousness, that holiness that covers our sins and makes us the children of God, that holds us safely in death and makes us stand when Jesus returns. When we talk about what Jesus did for us in the past, we don't talk about those things as mere historical events. When we talk about what Jesus did for us or will do for us in the future, we don't talk about those things as some kind of futuristic visions. We talk about them as the realities at both ends of what our Savior does for us each and every day of our lives. He rules wisely. He reigns wisely. He is the Lord, our righteousness. He rules our hearts and our minds as our King. The rule of Christ the King is beneficial to us right this very minute. It's beneficial to us every minute. 24/7. Amen.